Hello, and welcome back to the Cave Escape Podcast. I'm Ashton Goolsby.
And I'm Caleb Groves.
And we're here this week to talk about the Nicene Creed. That sounds like a very big undertaking. I just dropped it right off the bat.
Yeah.
When we say we're going to talk about the Nicene Creed, we want to talk about what is it, first off, but then also, why is it important? Where did it come from? And why is it that a lot of churches, particularly, I've heard a lot of people ask, like, why do Protestant churches use it today? Is that not a Catholic thing?
Interesting.
Or possibly an Anglican thing? I've heard, well, I mean, obviously, because it says the word Catholic in it.
Oh, at least well, once. The Apostles' Creed also says that.
Yeah, I've heard people say saying creeds is Catholic.
Oh, I mean, okay. Interesting.
I'm not saying it's a...
Those must be like Southern Baptists.
Maybe. I don't remember who exactly it was, but I know I've heard people over the years go, well, that's a Catholic thing. It says Catholic in there. So we're going to talk about, where did it come from? Why did it get written? Why do people still say it? And what's it about? And we probably will not get through all of it. In fact, we most likely will not get through everything.
Because we don't even know everything.
That's true. We don't.
There's a lot that I don't understand about this.
And so. Just life and theology in general.
Well, yeah, but we're not talking about those things right now, so we're going to leave those alone.
So we're going to delve into this limited infinity of theology.
That is
the Trinity.
A contradiction in... That's... What?
Never mind.
You can't say limited infinity.
So, I guess first should we talk about the history of where it came from?
Yes. Sounds like a good plan.
So do you want to tell us briefly... We're going to talk about... There were three councils in the early church.
Yes.
Can you tell us what a council is?
A council was when all the church, like the bishops and everybody, the whole early church would gather together. They'd all have like representatives from their churches, which I guess were the bishops, I think.
I think so.
I'm not super solid on the makeup of these. But they would get together whenever there was an issue that they needed to work through. Normally some kind of, if there's like a heresy going around they needed to fix or kind of, this is where they would... solidify like what was orthodox and what was not, basically, kind of. I think it might be a good way to summarize it.
And orthodox, again, doesn't mean like we think of the Orthodox Church and then there's the Catholic Church and the Reformed Baptist.
Correct doctrine.
Yeah. So orthodoxy is right practice. No. Right saying. And then orthopraxy is right doing.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Right teaching is orthodoxy.
Oh, yeah.
Orthodoxy is right teaching.
Yes.
So orthodoxy is just the idea of having right teaching in your church.
Orthodox belief would be that God is like the Trinity, three in one.
Yeah.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That would be an orthodox idea.
But it wasn't originally at the time agreed upon.
Right. So they had to have a council to solidify it.
And they actually had to have three councils.
Right.
So at first, after Christ ascended into heaven and all that stuff, the church was heavily persecuted for several centuries, actually.
Right.
And...
Well, I mean, they never stopped being persecuted.
But particularly, like, they were a minority in the Roman Empire.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
They were seen as, like, they weren't part of the Roman religion, certainly, but then the Jews had also rejected them, so they were just kind of, like, on their own.
Yeah.
Nobody claimed them, but then with the Emperor Constantine...
Right.
The story goes he was going out to fight. I don't remember who was going out to fight. But supposedly, according to the story, he went out and he saw a vision in the heavens. And it said, in Latin, it's in hoc signo vinces, in this sign you will conquer. And he saw the letter chi and the letter rho up in the sky, which looks like to us it would look like a P and an X. Mm-hmm. And those are the first two letters of the word Christos, which is the Greek word for Christ.
Right.
And so then he went out and he told all his men, he said, paint this on your shield. So they painted on their shield and they went out and they won. And so then he converted to Christianity and he converted his empire to a Christian empire.
Right.
And so with this, he's taken this massive empire of Rome and he's Christianized it. And so now it has the ability to spread quickly and people are converting and churches are being built and bishops and priests are being ordained. Mm-hmm. And then they run into these controversies that come up.
Right. Because these people over here believe this thing, then these people over here are saying the opposite. Which one of them is correct?
Yeah. And so they're having to then decide, what does scripture say? And keep in mind, they're also at this time, I think they're about 300 years removed from Christ.
I think so. That sounds right.
So they're still fairly early on in the history of the church.
Yeah.
So they're going through, what teachings have we been passed down from the apostles? What writings do we have from them? And sorting through these things. And then they would send representatives from different congregations, different parishes around. Mm-hmm. And they would meet and say, what do we think scripture says on this? And when they did that, that was called a council.
Right.
So the first, the Council of Nicaea is the first one we'll talk about. There's several before that, which we won't go into. But the council in the city of Nicaea was called together to deal with what we call the Arian heresy. And yes. That was, you want to explain that?
Yeah. Arianism was, it was developed, I guess, by a guy named Arius, which is where it gets the name. And essentially, it's interesting because it's like a very, like, kind of nuanced heresy. Like a nuanced difference, I mean. Because it's, the heresy is that Christ was begotten in the sense that he began being.
Yeah.
So not that he is like eternally begotten of the Father, which is what we believe. Like he has to be. So essentially he wasn't co-eternal with the Father.
Speaking of paradoxes, eternally begotten.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to us.
Exactly. Which is weird. It's weird because begotten to us has an inherently temporal meaning. Mm-hmm. But when we use it in the context of Christ being begotten, we don't mean it in the temporal sense.
Yeah.
I don't really have the understanding, I think, to parse out all the nuance of like what, like the specific way that we mean begotten.
And I don't think anybody understands it fully.
Yeah, but people can explain it.
That's true. So better than us, definitely. Go ask a real theologian or pastor.
Right.
To explain that.
I do think it has something to do though with it being him being like of the same substance as the Father. So like in the same way that like when a man has a child and he begets this child, that child has what is in the man in him.
Yeah.
And so it's this, there's same substance between a father and his child. And so I think that's part of what it means.
But then there's also the sense of which he, like it says, we'll get to the creed at some point, he proceeds from the Father. He comes out from the Father in a sense as well. So he's the same, but also somehow like comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Arians, they reject the idea that Christ is God.
No.
Oh.
They still would say that he is God, but he is... I don't know if they said he is a God or if that was somebody else. That might be somebody else. That's Mormons.
Sorry. They say he's not fully God. There's some like...
I don't think they denied that. They still claimed that he was fully God, but they said, but he's not co-eternal with God. And so all the other people were like, that means that he's not fully God. And so, and this isn't even, so this isn't Christ. This is the Son. I mean, like in the sense that like, it's not the like fully God, fully man question. It's just the Son of God. Like the Son, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the second member of the Trinity. They said the second member of the Trinity was begotten at a point before time, and he began existing.
According to what I'm reading here, in this book that I was reading with my class, it says, talking about Arius, so he taught that Christ, although he is something like God, is after all not fully God. According to Arius, Christ is the first and highest of all created beings. He does not exist from eternity. It is not of the same substance or essence as the Father. On the other hand, Athanasius, who debated Arius, taught that Christ is very God. So from that, I think he's saying, the Arians were saying, Christ is the first of all created beings. Because, I mean, obviously it says he was the Son. Okay, he was born from God. All right, he was the first created being. And he's not eternal like the Father. He didn't exist from before eternity. But he has some status over us. But he can't be the same as God, because he taught, in the sentence right before I read, he said that would mean that there were like two gods, basically. And he said, well, there's obviously one God, because God says there's one God. But if Christ is also God, then there's two gods somehow. That doesn't make any sense. And so he said that Christ must not be fully God. What does it mean that he and the Father are one? I don't really know.
And so would that be a question for him prior to the incarnation?
For who?
Arius. Like, is this dealing with specifically the incarnation or the second person of the Trinity, like, apart from the incarnation?
I'm actually not sure what he believed about, like...
Because it sounds to me like you're talking specifically about the incarnate Christ. And from what I remember in theology class, I don't think that the issue was actually with the incarnation. I think it was just generally with the second person of the Trinity. And then also, according to Wikipedia, which I don't know which is more reliable, your book or Wikipedia. but according to Wikipedia, it says, at the top, it just says that it's, I gotta make sure I talk into my mic. sorry, I almost died on spaghetti earlier, so my throat's not doing so good. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was begotten by the Father, with the difference that the Son of God did not always exist, but was begotten before time by God the Father. Therefore, Jesus was not co-eternal with God the Father, but nonetheless, Jesus began to exist outside time, as time applies only to creations of God. So he's not in the category of, like, creation. So he's not just, like, merely the highest of creation that was still, like, in time, though. And somewhere down here again, where'd it go? So in the Arian view, God the Father is a deity and is divine, and the Son of God is not a deity, but divine. I, the Lord, am deity alone, is the verse that's quoted. So God the Father sent Jesus to earth for salvation of mankind. Usia, well, now it's just going into what the Greek of some word. An aspect of God is completely incomprehensible to mankind, and human perception is all that subsists by itself. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all being uncreated. So that's in the Arian view. The pre-existing Logos, and thus the incarnate Jesus Christ, was a begotten being. Only the Son was directly begotten by God the Father before ages, but was of a distinct, though similar, essence or substance from the Creator. His opponents argued that this would make Jesus less than God and that this was heretical. Much of the distinction between the differing factions was over the phrasing that Christ expressed in the New Testament to express submission to God the Father. So I think it's still... I don't think that they would have said Christ is not God, but they were saying things about him
that would
make him not be God.
Yeah.
Because in order for him to actually be fully God, we would say he has to be co-eternal with the God, with God the Father. He has to be of the same substance as the Father. Yeah. And they were claiming that he wasn't those things. Okay. And so they were like, you can't say that because that means that he isn't fully God. And they were like, no, he is these things, but he's also fully God. So I think that's kind of what the heresy was.
Well, whatever it was, that sounds actually more correct.
Yeah.
But whichever way it was, I mean, it's posing problems.
Right.
And so even if it was, some people were saying both of these things, you've now got an even more divided picture. Mm-hmm. So the problem that they were facing was there's this division in the church of, we don't even understand who Jesus is. We can't agree on who our Savior is. So we need to meet and we need to decide this. And so the divinity of Christ is being questioned. So they called a church council together at the city of Nicaea. And at this council, they drew up a creed, which is like a confession of faith, which I guess confession doesn't always mean that I'm like apologizing for something I've done.
Right.
Like I punched Caleb in the face and then I must confess that I, or probably more like I stole his wallet and then I have to confess, yeah, I stole your wallet.
Both of those things happened.
Probably at some point, yeah. I don't remember punching you, but I'll apologize anyway. I'm sorry.
I forgive you.
But to confess something is we can also mean it in the sense of like stating what you believe about something. I'm confessing that I believe mm-hmm. these things. This is yeah. what I believe. So they put together this confession of faith, what we call a creed, that people still recite, and its purpose was to solidify the understanding of the Trinity
mm-hmm.
and solidify there's God the Father, there's God the Son, he's equally God, there's mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, also equally God.
Right.
And yeah. putting that in terminology that people could, that people thought about it and it was intentionally put in.
Yeah, kind of like making it yeah. super, this is explicitly as like eliminating as many confusing things as we possibly can. Yeah. This is like basically, this is who God is and how the Trinity like operates mm-hmm. and their relationships with each other.
Like these are the things that we can say for sure
mm-hmm.
that we believe.
And if you disagree with these things, then you're not believing in the Christian God.
Yeah. And so that's where like you run into, I mean, like I had some Jehovah's Witness came knocking on my mm-hmm. door when I was home actually it was several months ago now. But the one thing they wanted to claim that we're the same. We're all the same. And just talk to me and invite me to a Bible study. And the one thing I said was, I know that you deny the divinity of Christ. And they said, oh, well, no. Nobody ever said he was divine. Nobody ever said that. So then we proceeded to talk for a bit. And I was like, no, he 100% claimed to be God. And
right.
So I mean, there's still people that hold to various forms of Arianism today.
Yeah.
But they still often claim to be Christian. And so you have to really look at
mm-hmm.
what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
So they had the Council of Nicaea, and Arius wasn't completely satisfied with what they'd said. He wouldn't sign it, and a lot of his other followers wouldn't sign the creed and agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Athanasius, who was big in debating him, basically had to fight Arianism until he died. And then they called on a second council, the Council in Constantinople, to further combat Arianism and further solidify things with that they maybe some loose ends they had left open.
Mm-hmm.
And so once they'd finally kind of settled that with Constantinople's council, there arose later after that another controversy that said, okay, then Christ isn't fully man. Because how can God be human?
Right.
That doesn't make sense. So they had to come back and say, yes, he is fully man. Thinking through scripture, thinking through some of it, which we're not going to go into,
right.
reasoning it out. What does it mean for these things? What do we see in light of scripture? Okay, yes, Christ is fully God, as we established with Nicaea and Constantinople, and he's fully man. And so those right. are two things that are kind of the key points of Christian theology.
Yeah.
God came down to earth, was fully God, and was fully one of us at the same time.
Right.
Died for our sins and then rose again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what the creed seeks to say.
Yeah. And that third one was the Council of Chalcedon, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, cool. Chalcedon.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said that.
I don't know if you did. Maybe you did.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
Council of Chalcedon was the third one.
Yes. That's where we get the definition of Chalcedon, which might be from the creed that they wrote. It's from a larger thing that's part of, but the definition of Chalcedon is like a section of whatever they wrote there.
Yeah.
Which is like defines the hypostatic union, which if you don't know what the hypostatic union is, it's the I don't want to be a heretic and use the wrong word. The way that Jesus is fully God and fully man, the way that he is both of those things at the same time, we call the hypostatic union.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of like walks through. It's super crazy. I had to memorize it for theology class. I don't know it anymore though, so don't ask me to say it.
Yeah, that's also like the hypostatic union is a dangerous thing too, because there's so many people that have tried to explain it in different ways, and they almost always, if you really try to like solidify and like grasp it mentally, you end up in some heresy.
Yeah,
have you seen the Lutheran satire video on YouTube?
Yes, that's the Irish guys,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so yeah. Like they have these two little Irish guys, and they're talking to St. Patrick, and he's trying to explain to them what the Trinity is.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he does something like, oh, Patrick, that's modalism, Patrick. And yep. they always tell him what heresy he's done and what church council debunked it. And
yep.
It's funny. You should go look it up.
Yes, definitely. Those are good.
So we're going to look mostly at the Nicene Creed,
mm-hmm.
Which I think that Chalcedon had a creed, but the ones I've encountered the most are either the Apostles' Creed mm-hmm. or the Nicene Creed.
Right.
The Nicene Creed is the one that my church says regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I think, does Cornerstone?
Cornerstone knows the Apostles' kinda, Creed.
Do they switch it up?
I think they do, actually. I want to say that they've done the Nicene Creed a few times, but primarily it's Apostles' Creed.
Oh.
They may not have actually, they may not switch. I'm not sure.
Well, so to go back to one of the things we said in the beginning, as far as the purpose of saying it, it's to give us in our mind a statement that just says what it is we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is you say it, and you're confessing, you're stating what you believe,
mm-hmm.
but also as you say it, it's implanting in your brain. So right. that hopefully if somebody comes to you and tries to bring up some heresy, you're in the habit of saying this thing that's been carefully written and thought out, and you know what you believe. So you're stating what I believe, but you're also being reminded of exactly what it is you believe.
Right. So like if somebody comes up to you and starts trying to be like, God made Jesus, that's what it means, and he's like a little bit of a different substance, then you can go, no, he's begotten, not made yeah. of one substance with the Father, and you know that yeah. already in your head.
So I guess before we jump into talking about it, can I read it real quick?
Yes, totally.
So the Nicene Creed goes like this. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So there's a lot of theology packed into that.
Yeah.
That very concise statement, which is still a long paragraph.
Right.
Because it's impossible to condense God down into one comprehensive statement.
Yep.
So the best we could do was a paragraph. But like you see right off the beginning, they make a very clear statement about what is God, specifically Christ. Christ is the same as the Father, same substance, begotten before all worlds. God, he's God of God. He's light of light. He's very God of very God. He is the same as the Father, the same right. substance. And they walk through what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to combat Arianism right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is kind of funny to look at it because it's kind of divided into sections. And you can see there's like God the Father's at the top. And there's a giant chunk for the Son, and then you've got like a smaller chunk for the Holy Spirit, and then a smaller, even smaller chunk for just the church.
Yeah, and something I was reading before this also said they didn't spend as long on the Holy Spirit. They made a statement about the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't spend as long on it because they were mainly focused on the Son.
Right, that makes
sense.
And
the Father, because that's what they're specifically trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, too, a lot of times. Just kind of leaving that for just a second. There's a lot of people who will say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about this specifically, or the early church fathers didn't write about this specific incident that we have in the church now, so it must mm-hmm. not have been a big deal. And that's where I want to go. Of course, it wasn't a big deal, because they didn't. The problem we're dealing with today, specifically, they right. weren't going to talk about
right.
Like 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So like the idea of I don't know, not to get into a super hot topic, but like homosexuality in the church.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, I mean,
everybody hated homosexuality back then.
Athanasius wouldn't have made a statement about homosexual bishops because that would have just been a non sequitur. They would have been like,
right,
why are we talking about this?
How did you become a bishop?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see in this creed here, they make a statement about the whole Trinity, but they focus specifically on the Father and the Son because that's the matter that's currently at hand.
Right.
Well, they still mention the Spirit, though.
Yeah. That was good. That was a good point to make. So, I guess for this last little bit, you want to just go ahead and jump in and we can start talking about it. So, for the next, we'll probably do a few episodes on this. We just kind of want to walk through the Nicene Creed, walk through the sections and just kind of discuss each of the sections, kind of what, ask questions, and just kind of generally just kind of work through it and work to try and have some kind of understanding of this more than just understanding what the words say. So we're almost out of time this week, so we can do a little bit, but we'll do probably a couple more because I don't think that we can do the whole thing in one episode next time. Yeah. But you want to just start right there at the beginning with the section on the Father?
Sure.
Cool. I'll go ahead and read it again, just that first section.
Cool.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. I didn't realize the Father part was that short.
Yeah, very short.
Yep. But anyway, I mean, yeah, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible.
But I mean, the thing they have to start off with is, of course, I mean, you have the statement all the way back in Exodus and really Genesis. There is one God.
Yes.
And so he makes that abundantly clear to Israel. There is one God,
mm-hmm.
only one. But then how do we deal with the fact that Christ also clearly claimed to be God?
Right.
And that's,
but not denying the Father. He's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both of us are God.
Yeah. But then there's still one God.
Yep.
And that's something that like blows our minds. We can't understand.
Yeah.
And I've heard people specifically call to mind the people who showed up on my door.
Yeah.
Try to claim that, I mean, well, Jesus never said he was God. If you look in John, I've forgotten the chapter and verse, but when he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, I tell you, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, have you seen Abraham? And he says, in our English translation, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he's actually saying there is, it's the Greek translation of Yahweh,
right,
from the Septuagint,
yeah,
which is ego, I, me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Greek, you can say there's one word for I am, and it's I, me. You don't have to have the preposition before it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they emphasized the I am, the Yahweh aspect, was they would put, to show it was an intentional statement, they would put I am. So, but ego, which is I,
yeah,
but I,
that's
am.
Right.
So what he's saying there, he says, amen, amen, which is truly, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I say to you, before Abraham was, ego, I, me.
Right.
Before Abraham was Yahweh.
Right.
And that's why they pick up the stones to kill him. And that's the biggest one that comes to my mind. But I mean,
yeah,
there's other places too, where it's clear that he's saying, I am God.
Right.
But then what they're saying here is, how do we reconcile this with, he's God, and then he talks about the Father. So they begin by just saying, there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
There's one, yeah, God.
There is. Also, funny side note. I don't know if we have time for this. Just side note. Jehovah's Witness, again, they claim that like God's true name is Jehovah. But that's like, I think it's a German, yeah, translation,
yeah,
of the, I can't remember what the fancy word is for Yahweh. Cause so in the Hebrew, we only have the like the consonants of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Cause they would take out the vowels because they wouldn't, they will eventually,
they didn't
have the vowels at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so, but they would never say his name because they revered God's name so much. So they would always say the Lord whenever they were reading the scriptures. And so, yeah, eventually they just kind of like forgot how the word was actually spoken. So we don't actually know what God's actual name is, like what the sounds are, but we have the, yeah, consonants. And
yeah,
so then
we tried to go back through the etymology and go, well, we think it's from these words. Okay. It probably was Yahweh or something like that.
Right.
So we're like fairly sure, but not 100% sure that that's how you actually say it,
yeah,
because the Hebrews stopped saying his name.
Exactly. But then it was like transliterated into German or something like that, yeah. And it kind of changed some of the letters, and so they would say it Jehovah. And so,
yeah. Doesn't just the J in German make like a Y sound?
Maybe. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
because Jaeger.
Yeah, and then I think from there it was translated kind of into English, but then the J makes a J sound for us.
Yep.
And so we were.
And so it's laughable to me.
Yeah.
That's what they chose to pick as God's actual name, because it's a transliteration, and then this yeah. letter makes a different letter in this other third language.
Yeah.
And so it's so far removed from what even like our guesses are for what his actual name is.
Yeah.
It just kind of is really silly to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's where they begin. Is
yes.
There's one God.
One God.
And then they begin by the talking Father about Almighty. The Father. So the Father is, it would be fair to say, the head of the Trinity.
Yeah. I believe that's correct.
I don't want to use poor terminology.
It's only heresy if you're shown the truth and you deny it. So.
All right.
You can only be a heretic if somebody's like, no, dude, that's wrong. That's incorrect. And you're like, no, this is right. Then you're a heretic and you believe a heresy.
Well,
but if you just act, if you misspeak, it's not technically heresy.
If I am slipping into heresy, please call me out on it.
Yes. Somebody. Yeah. If we make a mistake somewhere, please let us know, because we're probably not going to know any better.
Yeah. We are 20-something-year-old guys trying to talk about this.
Yep.
But
yeah, I'm pretty sure he's that, because that's part of his Father role.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about later the idea of the other two proceeding from him.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit about the Son, and we'll get into the Spirit.
Yeah.
Probably next time, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, are we about out of time for this one?
Yeah.
So I guess, should we just end here with the Father? Yeah, and then
probably.
We'll pick up next time talking more about the Son, and then we'll see how far we get in the next one.
Yep.
But as always, thank you for listening. There should be, if I am up to date on my end of the deal, there should be a synopsis up on the blog. So you can find us there at the Cave Escape, blogspot.com, or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at the Cave Escape Podcast. But until next time, thank you for listening, and take care.